a new series, a little tongue-tied, a new series, sermon series called Faking It. And we're going to try to deal with living more authentic lives, to get beyond the fakery, to get beyond that which is not real to that which is. And to do so, we begin with 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Open your Bibles. Open your device. It's also on the screen. The version that we commonly use here is the Common English Bible, the CEB. May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. On account of His vast mercy, He has given us new birth. You have been born anew into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have a pure and enduring inheritance that cannot perish, an inheritance that is presently kept safe in heaven for you. Through His faithfulness, you are guarded by God's power so that you can receive the salvation He is ready to reveal in the last time. You now rejoice in this hope, even if it's necessary for you to be distressed for a short time by various trials. This is necessary so that your faith may be found genuine. Your faith is more valuable than gold, which will be destroyed, even though it is itself tested by fire. Your genuine faith will result in praise, glory, and honor for you when Christ is revealed. Although you've never seen Him, you love Him. Even though you don't see Him now, you trust Him and so rejoice with a glorious joy that is too much for words. You are receiving the goal of your faith, your salvation. My friends, this is the Word of God for the people of God. And to that we always say, thanks be to God. It's easy to pull the wool over somebody's eyes, I think. Consider this. Many products are designed to imitate the real thing, but they're not the real thing. For example, there is plastic decking that looks like real wood. Maybe you've got some of that at your house. There is vinyl flooring that looks like ceramic tile. You can purchase fake fur, fake jewelry, almost anything. But here's one that I really got to question. What in the world is the purpose behind fake mud? Have you heard of that? You can actually buy a can of spray-on mud for $15, and you can spray your SUV so that people will think you've been on a wilderness adventure rather than just taking the kids to soccer. For $15, you can have an authentically looking wilderness adventure SUV. Now, that doesn't appeal to me, but the CEO of the company says that sales are skyrocketing. It's a British invention, and guess where it's selling the best? In America. Who would have thought? You know what? With our modern technology, it is really tough to tell what's real and what's not. You can Photoshop just about any picture on the planet and make it look like it's really happened, when in fact, it's just something that's made up. I remember a few years ago hearing about this great white shark that jumped out of the water and tried to engulf a man hanging from a helicopter line. Photoshopped. It was never real in the first place. I believed it for a while. I was telling people about that great white shark that could jump out of water. It just wasn't the case. What is authentic? What isn't? Now, last Saturday, a week from yesterday, somebody left what I thought were two $100 bills over here in the counting office. So when I came into the church Saturday night to get things ready for Sunday, I saw those two $100 bills and my eyes kind of popped. But then I began to think someone probably has left them for tomorrow's offering. I won't worry about it. I'll just make sure the door's locked. The next day I asked the financial secretary and our treasurer, did you see those two $100 bills on the desk in there? And they said to me very quickly, well, did you happen to look at the backs? I said, no. They went and got them. They showed it to me on the back. It was blank. Somebody got me. Two $100 bills. What's real? What's not? I actually heard about a pastor You can subscribe as a pastor to a sermon company. They'll write your sermons for you and you can preach them. I've never done this, but some pastors do, and you simply give credit to the person that wrote the sermon. But this particular pastor decided not to do that, and he took credit for all the stories in there, made those stories about his own family, his own wife, his own kids. The thing is, he was lying to his church. He never did a single thing in any of those stories, and his church dismissed him. Large church, popular pastor, lied to the congregation and was let go. What's real? What's authentic? Sometimes it is very hard to tell. So we're going to begin a sermon series about dealing with that which is fake. Today, we're going to look at fake faith. And how do we know what real faith is unless we see the real thing? And Peter helps us out with that. Today's passage gives us an idea of genuine, real faith. There are five things that genuine faith consists of. Number one, genuine faith loves Jesus. Period. It's that simple. There was a little girl saying her prayers before bedtime, and her mom was kind of giving her ideas about things to be thankful for, like school and home and church, her family, and she was going through the list. And finally, her mother said, "Honey, why don't you ask Jesus to help you love him more?" And she got this really bewildered look on her face, and she turned to her mom and she said, "But Mommy, I'm already crazy about Jesus." That is real love. What we're talking about here is a relationship, one that has depth to it, not just something that's surface. I heard about a lady who was mentioning to her captain of the ship that she was on that it appeared that the rudder was cracked. But she wasn't worried a bit about it because it was underwater and most nobody would notice. Don't we kind of live our lives like that? We have this surface person that may not actually reflect the real us, the real me. A love relationship with Jesus has serious depth to it. It's an intimacy all to itself. There's a desire to be present with Jesus through prayer, through the study of the Word, through living like Him. A love relationship is a serious relationship that requires time. You feel drawn to it. You miss it when you're not there. You think about it. That's what loving Jesus is like. That's genuine faith. Second thing that I think consists of genuine faith is this. Genuine faith trusts Jesus. An ABC News poll recently stated that 83% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. Now that sounds kind of high to me. If 83% of our population is Christian, why are we having shootings and issues with drugs and families that are broken apart and people embezzling funds from companies? Some might say, well, that's the 17% or so that doesn't believe, but I don't buy that. I think that we have a problem. I think that we have confused knowledge about Jesus with a relationship with Jesus. Now, catch me on this. Many of us have been taught from an early age that Jesus exists, that he was present with God in some great mystery when he created the world, that he is loving and merciful, and that's all true. But there's quite a different thing from believing that about Jesus and accepting that about Jesus. It's one thing to say that Jesus is Lord. It's another thing to say Jesus is Lord of my life. Remember, the Bible says that even the evil spirits are aware of who Jesus is, and they shudder and quake over it. They certainly aren't saved. They have a knowledge, but they don't have a personal, trusting relationship. Get this. A trusting relationship means that we see Jesus at work in everything. Even stuff that's bad. There's a purpose. There's a reason. Jesus can work in that situation, through that situation, and in spite of that situation. And often uses even the difficult things to shape us, to form us, to grow us. A trusting relationship means that we are willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish God's will. We trust Him that much, knowing that He walks with us, that He leads us. A genuine faith trusts Jesus no matter what. Fake faith stops at the knowledge part. Oh, I know Jesus. I know He exists. I know He's Lord, Savior. Fake faith only goes as far as knowledge. Faith that is fake pretends that all is well just because one agrees there is a God. Genuine faith trusts God. Third thing, genuine faith produces joy. Peter referred to it as something that really was even more inexpressible than what words provided. That there was something that wells up inside the true believer that causes rejoicing and praising even when times are tough. There's an understanding that God is with us and is working things out. Joy is a trademark of genuine faith. Matter of fact, Paul said in Galatians that joy was one product of a genuine faith. The others, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My friends, there's evidence of genuine faith. If these things are ever more present in your life, there's the evidence that one has a genuine faith. Several of us went on that trip to the Sight and Sound and saw the Jonah performance. I want you to see our group picture. Isn't that a great looking group right there in front of us? Now, eight of us are from Duff and two are from Bridgeport. You see on the far left there, George Bramble and his wife Cheryl. David's kind of hiding behind Cheryl. And then behind all of us, there's a lion and a lamb. It was a beautiful, beautiful statue. And we decided to get our picture in front of this particular place at the Sight and Sound. Jonah was absolutely great. But everything went south the next day. Now, we tried to tell Braden to slow down. But lots of backseat drivers in a church van, let me tell you. And I thought I would do my best to come to the aid of the situation, so I joined the conversation. I pled his case. You know, I figured I'm the minister after all. I might be able to pronounce some divine thing upon this situation, but to no avail. But let me tell you what really happened. Braden found a wallet inside the travel plaza on a ledge by a trash can. Obviously, somebody sat down there. It might have fell out of their pocket. He opened it up, and there was a large sum of cash inside. And he began to search for the owner. He even ran outside and went down an aisle of cars looking for the person, but we couldn't find that person that matched the picture on the driver's license. So I decided, let's go ahead and call 911, because if that much money is in there, I don't know, I want to give it to an employee and create some sort of temptation. And I called the dispatch, and dispatch said, well, do you know how much money's in it? I said, I don't. I said, Braden, can you count? And he did. $713 of cash. She said that she would send a trooper. About, 20 minutes later, he finally drove up, and we went out to meet him, and we told him about the wallet, and he said, you know, I get a lot of phone calls about things that are lost, things that are stolen. Occasionally, somebody will call me about a wallet, but I rarely ever get a wallet returned that still has the cash or the credit cards in it. And Braden was so funny, he just kind of looked at the officer and he said, we're a church group, and this is my minister. But do you know that there are a lot of people who say they're Christian who would have taken that wallet and left without ever saying a word? I might even say there could be a number of church groups that might see that as an opportunity. Hopefully they would have tithed it. That's a whole other story. A lot of people people who are probably known as upstanding and well-mannered people, might succumb to that temptation. But I want you to know that Braden and your church did the right thing. And doesn't that say something special? Doesn't it? You and I represent something. We represent Christ. And what we say and do matters far more than what you could ever realize. You represent a church. And what you do out there, what you say out there, has a greater impact on us as a body than what you might ever, ever imagine. And here's the funny thing. It's not really so funny. We might pull the wool over somebody's eyes, but there's one who we can never fool in any shape, way, or form, who keeps the eternal record, who knows all things and knows everything about us and knows everything that we say and do. We can't fool God. Amen? So live. Live your life knowing that you can't. Knowing that you can't get away from God's watchful eye. This is good. This is good. This helps us stay more in line with His will. And remember, Jesus said, not only is God always present, but I'm with you even until the end of the age. Jesus is with us. Fourth, I want you to know that genuine faith results in salvation. That probably is the most wonderful thing about this. But it's not the only thing. It is the ultimate. Salvation is eternal. But I think salvation is a two-part thing. Salvation is for our eternal residence, but it's also meant to be lived now. There's victory now through Christ, and Christ wants to work in us and through us. I remember hearing a story about a little girl who said this to her dad. "Daddy, do you love Jesus?" Now, her dad wasn't very religious, and this is his response to her question. "My dear, Jesus is dead long, long ago. He was crucified, and that was the end of him and the end of the story." Put his newspaper back up, kept on reading. She said, "But Daddy, Jesus rose again and did what no other man could do. And if Jesus was not living now, we could not be living either. He gives us life and everything else, Dad." He said, "But my dear, how can I love someone I have never seen? Tell me that." Put his paper back up, kept on reading. He had a little smirk on his face because there was silence. He figured that he got her. But after just a little bit, she asked this question, "Daddy, how old was I when Mommy died?" "Well, honey, you were just 6 months old." "Well, Daddy, I can't say then that I ever saw her, for I don't remember her at all. But you've always tried to make me remember. You've told me about how kind she was and how gentle and how loving. And Daddy, I do love her, even though I have never seen her that I can remember." Behind that newspaper, those tears started to flow down his eyes. And he dropped that newspaper and his gaping mouth wide open, looked right at her. And finally he said, "Emily, God has spoken to me through you, my dear daughter. And now you must pray for me and ask God to give me a new heart, which I shall love Jesus with." And that prayer was soon answered. Mary Ann handed me a card today, and this scripture, I was actually looking for this scripture last night. And I couldn't remember where in Ezekiel it was, and here it is, Ezekiel 11:19. "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." That's what happened to that man with his daughter, who, used by Christ, made an eternal difference. Don't ever think for one second that a young person or a young family can't make an impact right now, today. Praise be to God. Finally, genuine faith will receive recognition in the end. It might not come during life, but it certainly will after life. Peter said, praise, honor, and glory comes to those at the end, those who trust in Christ. Peter made it very clear that fellow saints will rejoice, that the angels will probably dance, that God will embrace the one who trusts Him, who truly, truly trusts Him. Peter talked about this salvation, and he said that such faith, genuine faith, is more valuable than gold, worth more than the greatest riches. The soul is the most precious thing of creation, and your soul that is inside you is eternal. There is no way to escape that. Your soul will go one place or another for eternity. Let's watch this. My friends, the best is yet to come. Doesn't even compare to this. We won't even have a thought of worry or hurt or pain or sadness. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us enough to walk this road with us and to show us the love of the Father through your self-sacrificial death and resurrection. Remind us that through Christ we are an Easter people. Lord, I can't begin to imagine what some face in this life, sometimes death or things that are even worse than that, but you remind us today that that is a small part of the journey, that eternity is forever. Help us to have a genuine faith so that our words and our deeds will convict us of true belief. Rescue us from the things of this world which encumber us and trip us up and would have us for lunch. Give us victory in Christ for our living today. Make us better moms and dads, better grandparents, aunts and uncles, better teachers and mentors, better co-workers. Lord, help us to learn the simplicity and the beauty of a bridal tongue. You gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Help us to be better listeners than we are speakers. Empower us to love like Christ, and by us, change the world, or at least our little neck of the woods. We ask this in Christ's blessed name. And all God's children said, Amen.